to the top if you wanna rock and roll. But the reality was, when we got there, we were put into an immigrant hostel, and it rained non-stop for 6 weeks. I remember that. We had snakes crawling around the floor when we woke up. There was in pools of water, you know. It was things we'd never seen in Scotland. Now, we wanted to go home, you know. But when we turned around, we saw both our parents crying. That night we arrived, we actually got strength from that to try and get them to stick it out there.
If you ever ask Bon what he, if you ask him publicly what he wrote, he would say toilet poetry.
This is Malcolm Young from AC/DC.
This is Angus Young of AC/DC in the studio
for High Voltage.
By the time the albums Highway to Hell in 1979 and Back in Black in 1980 ensured AC/DC's place in rock history, this quintet had already released 6 albums in as many years. Much was made then, in those pre-Crocodile Dundee days, about AC/DC being from Australia, which to most Americans was a mysterious continent half a world away. Actually, AC/DC was started by 2 brothers, Malcolm Young and his little brother Angus, who had emigrated to Australia from Glasgow, Scotland. Now, the true story of how these poor kids and their large family came to settle on the other side of the world, only to find fame and fortune, sounds like a modern-day Charles Dickens fable. Here's AC/DC co-founder, songwriter, rhythm guitarist Malcolm Young in the studio.
If you think yourself, if you're 9 or 10 years old, and all of a sudden you come home from school one day and the family says, "We're all going to Australia." You think, "Great, this is great." You know, where is it? Where is Australia? Oh, you can ride horses there. You can do this. It's a wonderful country. We're all going. And then to realise they're not just talking about a holiday. They're talking about real. You know, we're from quite a poor family in Glasgow. And the reason we went there was because my dad was out of work for years, and it was a chance. You could go to Australia for $10, you could take the whole family there, and they took it up out of necessity, just basically to get, there was job opportunities there for them, you know. So the next thing, we were all on our way. We were very excited. We thought, we saw brochures, you know, it just looked phenomenal. But the reality was, when we got there, we were put into an immigrant hostel, which is probably similar to what the Mexican people get put into, or the Cubans in Florida, you know. I'm not saying it's bad, but it was very slim, bare necessity situations. It rained nonstop for 6 weeks. I remember that. We had snakes crawling around the floor when we woke up. There was in pools of water, you know. It was things we'd never seen in Scotland. Scotland's too cold to have scary monster beasts and animals and things. We'd never seen anything like this before. We wanted to go home, you know. But when we turned around, we saw both our parents crying. That night we arrived, we just thought, geez, what's, you know. We actually got strength from that to try and get them to stick it out then. You know what I mean? It was because we came from a big family who stick together, you know?
The lead-off track from AC/DC's first album in 1976, High Voltage. That's It's a Long Way to the Top if you want to rock and roll. One of my all-time favorite songs, and it remains true today. There were several musical siblings among the Young family's seven boys and one girl. Oldest brother George had become a pop star in the Australian band The Easy Beats. But since Angus was the baby brother, I was surprised that Malcolm would even consider starting a band with his youngest brother.
Well, to be honest, we used to, you know, you're like all kid brothers. You never wanted them around. You know, you always went out of your way to, how do I get out of this? How can I get out the door? Because Angus was 2 or 3 years younger. So I was always looking for escape hatches, you know, to get out with the bigger guys. But when I got to around 16, 17, Angus was around 14. We virtually on the guitars were basically brought us a little bit more together in age, you know, because we're both listening to the same music, picking up on the same guys, musicians, and we started jamming together without even knowing, I guess, at the time, you know, because it was just a natural thing for us. We played as kids with guitars very early on, but when Angus probably got to about 13, 14, he really started jumping in leaps and bounds, you know, with his playing. And the next thing I'm looking at him going, wow, he was impressing me. He was doing that I don't do, you know, as far as solo stuff goes and things like that. Whereas I was more like, let me learn the tune and then I'll work on a solo. Angus went straight to the solos, you know. But, you know, when you get to around 19, 20, 21, you know, you start to talk the same sort of thing all the time, especially when you've got music. You know, that's our whole thing. You know, we spend more time. When me and Angus still get together, it's music. That's what we work together as. You know, we seem to, we have a almost ESP thing between us with music, because we know, as brothers, we know each other inside out. Even, and that just takes away any age gap. You know, if some guy's on your level with the music, it's it doesn't matter if the kid's 3 years of age. I'll sit there and talk to him all night.
AC/DC lead guitarist Angus Young remembers how they first met the singer who would provide the missing ingredient to their potent lineup, Bon Scott, a sinewy, tattooed ex-sailor with a unique voice. Here's Angus.
This buddy of his had said, this band's coming to town, which was us, was AC/DC, you know, and he had said to, you know, to Bon, you want to drive these guys around, you know? And Bon had just got out of hospital at the time. He'd been in a motorbike accident, and, Bon said, yeah, sure, why not, yeah? And that's the first time we ever met him, yeah. His given name was Ronald, but the kids there in Australia, they used to say, well, Bonnie, you know, you've got the song, from the old Scottish song, you know, My Bonnie Lies Over the Ocean. So a lot of the kids there called him, you know, it first became Bonnie. A lot of people would say, hey, Bonnie lad, yeah? And then later on, it just become shortened. A lot of his buddies would just call him Bon then. Yeah. And, well, we had a lot in common, you know. Also, too, you know, Bon had been in a band, even though we grew up in different parts of the country, Bon had been in a band that had, as a drummer originally in a band, and the band he had been in had a few success with songs written from my brother George. So we were sort of connected in one little way in that sort of respect. And Bon was a big fan of, you know, anything George got into, especially the Easy Beats, which was the band my brother George came out of. You know, he thought they were, to him they were like a Beatles almost, yeah?
She gave me the queen. She gave me the king. She was wheeling and dealing, just doing her thing. She was holding a pair, but I had to try. Her deuce was wild, but my ace was high. But how was I to know that she'd been this was her nature. Poker straight was a game. If she knew she could get ya, she played them fast and she played them hard. She could close her eyes and feel every card.
Clever double entendre throughout. That's Bon Scott and AC/DC from High Voltage with The Jack. Next, find out why, at the start of their career, AC/DC got a lot of bookings in gay nightclubs. I'm Redbeard in the studio with Malcolm and Angus Young for the anniversary of AC/DC's first international album, High Voltage.
This is Angus Young of AC/DC in the studio
for High Voltage.
Thanks, guys. I'm Redbeard. Their first international album that started it all. Back then, the term AC/DC was slang for bisexual in many English-speaking countries. Except neither Margaret Young, who suggested the name to the boys as a band name, nor Malcolm and Angus, who loved it, knew this. So it caused considerable notoriety, not to mention some strange bookings for the band, according to AC/DC rhythm guitarist Malcolm Young.
In 74, I guess it was, because of the name of the band was AC/DC, they seemed to think in Australia that we were like a bisexual come outfit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We were green kids. We took it off, you know, batteries, you know, batteries AC/DC. But we got all these bookings from different states and that. People had never heard the band. Just said, we want this band, word of mouth. So we thought, great. But when we got there, we were playing in gay clubs and all sorts of things. And we go, what the hell is this? We're still green kids, you know, who had just basically been laid for the first time.
Uh-huh.
And we got all these big sort of gay community Mardi Gras gigs were like that and things. And we, to be honest, it was, we just couldn't handle it that well at the time. But we knew one thing. Just rock and roll, and they love it, and then we can get the shit out of here. Quick, smart, in one.
That's AC/DC's Live Wire from High Voltage in 1976. If the sheer raw power didn't overwhelm American audiences, then the martial rhythms and bagpipe solos certainly could. Rhythm guitarist Malcolm Young reminds that, with three Scotsmen writing the songs and fronting AC/DC, musically speaking, we were just looking up the lads' kilts.
Bon was a piper. You know, he played a little bit of a flute in a marching band, and he played snare drum as well. Yeah, he was in a pipe band in Australia, you know, when he had gone to Australia from Scotland. There's a lot of expats from Scotland and Perth. Bon was placed into the pipe band with his kilt, and away he went, you know. And he had that, the jig in him, the jig, that's the Scottish jig, we could call it. And we all had that in our blood, you know. But I do know what you're saying. You're thinking of this marching thing. It's but that's in Scottish music, but it's, you know, it's not rat-a-tat-a-tat, rat-a-tat-a-tat, you know what I mean? It's forget the clever stuff. It's just bang, bang, you know. That right down the line with it, you know. But I know that's probably a bit of Braveheart, a bit of the Scots blood in it. It's mixed. And I feel, you know, that a lot of that music got mixed together with the black blues, African roots music, and that turned into pop music eventually, you know, through country folk and things, you know. But what I'm saying is, getting back to the rhythm side of it, I think Scots have got a great rhythm. Just the people, they seem to, every bone in their body's got rhythm, and you don't really see a lot of that in except for, say, the Latin countries. There's a lot of people like that too, you know, but they're certainly unique in amongst the cold Europe. They've got a damn warm feel for music, you know.
I'm dirty, made and mighty unclean. I'm
TNT, the explosive sound of AC/DC's first international release, High Voltage, back in 1976. Lead guitarist Angus Young comments on AC/DC lead singer and lyricist Bon Scott.
If you ever asked Bon if you asked him publicly what he wrote, he would say toilet poetry, yeah? But the reality of it is he really worked on it, yeah? That he spent a lot of time with and he was conscious of that. If he'd done something and he wrote down lyrics and he come and he'd started performing, he'd say, nah, I can do better than this, and he would go away for a couple of hours, and sometimes he would say, well, Malcolm, Angus, I'm stuck here, can you know, you help us, and we'd all put our heads together, yeah. And but he really did. He took a lot of care and pride with anything he done with vocals. But he'd be the first to tell you, as I said, if you asked him publicly, he'd say, ah, it's toilet poetry.
Yeah.
That's the title song to AC/DC's first worldwide release, High Voltage, in 1976. Next, you'll discover how Angus Young's schoolboy outfit became one of rock's most recognizable icons. I'm Redbeard in the studio with Malcolm and Angus Young for the anniversary of High Voltage and Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap.
This is Malcolm Young from AC/DC.
This is Angus Young of AC/DC in the studio for High Voltage.
Thanks again, guys. I'm Redbeard. The High Voltage album cover features this English schoolboy in short pants, cap, a knapsack, playing wild electric guitar. Little did I know back in 1976 that the lead guitarist in AC/DC actually dressed like that in concert. Here he is, Angus Young, in the studio.
Well, my sister had come up. She always had said, you see, a lot of bands at that time were very much unanimated, you know. It was more of a time, I suppose, where bands were more being more cool than any energy, you know. You got the feeling at the time that energy was just an uncool thing, which is really quite strange, yeah. Because with rock and roll, has always been exciting, and so she had said, "Wouldn't it be great, you know?" Angus put on his old school suit and got on, and me being so small, she said he'll even look even younger, and it'll give people something to look at, you know. And that's really where the act came into it, I suppose, you know, moving and the energy side of it a lot, because I thought better keep moving in case you become a target, you know. That was a lot of it. I just thought, well, sure, there's people that will probably, you know, like it, but then there's also the ones there that were sort of going, what is this? Is this a, you know, we expected to see a rock and roll band when... You know, what is this? This guy dressed like, reject, you know, some sort of misfit from retired from a school, you know. The suit was good for me, too, because I was always pretty shy when I was younger. It was, George and Malcolm used to push me, and Bon also, you know, when he was always, they pushed me up the front. Because they said, you know, we just like looking at that little dance you do, you know?
If you're having trouble with the high school head, he's giving you the blues. You want to graduate, but not this bed is what you gotta do. Pick up the phone, I'm always home. Call me anytime. Just ring 362. Dirty deeds done dirt cheap.
recorded just after High Voltage in 1976, but not released in America until 5 years later. That's Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap by AC/DC. Imagine the anticipation for Scottish expatriates Malcolm and Angus Young, plus singer Bon Scott, when AC/DC played their first pub gig in London as Total Unknowns in 1976. Here's Angus Young.
Yeah, it was called the Hammersmith Red Cow. When we got on and played, I mean, there was like two dogs, a cat, and and a few people. But by the end, it was like people were going out and calling their friends, you know. And by the end of the night, that pub was full. But the next show, of course, it's standing room only, so it's the same thing. And then from then, we went to the original Marquee Club of London, where all the bands used to, like from the Stones, the Yardbirds, and all of these had cut their teeth in, and we went in there, and it was the same there. I mean, they had the audience just going right round the block, and they could only get 800 in that club, believe it or not. It was only a small club, but I mean, there was just thousands of people round the block. It all started the same way. Nothing, when it comes to rock and roll, you'll get a lot of pop music in Britain, but when it comes to real rock, they've always had a strange way of sort of ignoring rock. And I think a lot of it comes from probably the early times when they were playing rock music in Britain, they were having a lot of riots, you know, and there's always been this tendency to think that it's a music of, rebellion. But America had their revolution, France had their revolution, and every country in Europe had their revolution. Britain never had one, you see. So they were still always worried that maybe this might be it, you know.
But by the time AC/DC got to Scotland to play Glasgow City Hall, word had arrived that this so-called Australian band was 3/5 Scots. Again, AC/DC lead guitarist Angus Young.
The first time we played was, there was a few amusing things happened. You know, as soon as we come on, the Scottish crowd was up, and you know, the security was trying to keep them down. Yeah, and so the kids, I thought, rather invented. They set fire to the seats. They started burning the seats, and then of course, you know. That sort of kept the security, you know, in, and then they just came, they just got off and just started rocking, and it just become, a headbangers thump up, you know, thumping away. I know the next, which was quite amusing, because the next time we were going to play, the mayor band is, you see, apparently, the mayor had his band there, and but what had happened was the mayor went on holiday, and we were touring. The promoter had us booked in while the mayor was on holiday. And so they had the deputy mayor, and he hadn't even bothered to check. So what happened was, when it came up, the mayor had came back from holiday, and when he saw that we were playing that night, what happened was he called in the riot police. And I remember the police superintendent coming in backstage, even before we had gone on stage. He said, "I've got 8 vans, riot vans, out there for the audience." And he says, "And I've got one more for the band." But anyhow, we played that night, and yet again, the kids then, you know, the same thing. They were trying to keep them down, but the kids sort of set fire to the curtains that night. A lot of pyromaniacs, I think.
Looking back 3 decades to those very first AC/DC albums, rhythm guitarist and co-founder Malcolm Young will never forget the first impression that Ronald Bon Scott made. It proved to be platinum intuition.
So, yeah, eventually we just had a jam with Bon, and we thought, this guy's brilliant, you know, this is really what we need. And we got rid of this pop star singer we had. You know, the pretty guy that all the little girls like, you know, mm-hmm. This isn't us. We need this guy. We want this mean rock and roller. So we dragged Bon in, and we were writing songs within the first hour or two. She's Got Balls was probably the first track we put together with Bon. We we did that for, you know, our first gig. We were just looking for an entrance for Bon, really, to bring him on. And we needed something that was, you know, a bit of a monotonous, heavy riff that could we could play for 20 minutes if we wanted, without even going into a word of a vocal. And we were just playing around with that for Bon as the opening of a show. And he said, hang on, I've got these words about my ex-wife here called, I've got the title, She's Got Balls. How does that sound? Sounds great. So She's Got Balls actually was when the band came together for the first time and wrote, you know.
Society, God's gift to ballroom notoriety, and I always fill my ballroom. The event is never small. The social pages say I've got the biggest balls of all. I've got big balls, I've got big balls, they're such big balls, and they're dainty big balls. And he's got big balls, and she's got. My ballroom always full, and everybody comes and comes again. If your name is on the guest list, no one can take you higher. Everybody says I've got great balls of fire. I've got big balls, oh I've got big balls, and they're such big balls, dirty big balls. And he's got big balls, and she's got big balls. But when they're held for pleasure, they're the balls that I like best. My balls are always bouncing to the left and to the right. It's my belief that my big ball should be held every night. Oh, we've got big balls! We've got big balls! We've got big balls! Dirty big balls! He's got big balls! She's got big balls! But we've got the biggest!
Ornery, crude, bawdy, you bet, but he was lovable. Lead singer Bon Scott with AC/DC from Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap. I'm Redbeard.